Praise the Lord. Well, we've come a long way since we started this study on God's ultimates. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 5 and going to look at that there is no greater adventure known than walking with the Lord. And those of you studies of Scripture will know who we're going to read about, who walked with God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. We'll back up to verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. He lived a year for every day of the year. Enoch walked with God and then was no more because God took him away. Wow. What a statement to have made about this man. Enoch walked with God. So simple a statement. But walking with God is not like walking the dog. Amen. We like to walk, don't we? Sometimes. We like to walk for exercise. We like to walk. But when the Bible's talking about Enoch walking with God, he's talking about Enoch in close fellowship and communion with God constantly. For 365 years, Enoch walked with God. Incredible. And this was at a time, don't forget, when there was no scripture to teach him about the things of God. There were no preachers to encourage him along the way. There were no song leaders to lead him into the presence of God in praise and worship. There was just Enoch and God. And somehow this man loved God so much that he walked with him all the days of his life. I don't know how he did that. That's incredible. I don't know how he managed to do that. I don't know how he managed to shut out every distraction and everything that went on. I mean, the Bible says there that he had sons and daughters. He was the father of Methuselah. So he was a family man. He was a husband. Had to provide for his family. He had to do all the things that daddies do, all the things that granddaddies do. I mean, how many times was he a granddaddy? He was probably a great, 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 great granddaddy by the time he died at his age. How did he manage to do all the things of life and still walk with God to the point where God said, come on, Enoch, there's not much point in you staying down there anymore. You might as well come up here. And Enoch never died. He was translated into the presence of God. There are two people in the Bible who never died, Enoch and Elijah. Okay? Enoch was translated into the presence of God. Elijah went to heaven on the fiery chariot. Now there are two witnesses in the book of Revelation who come back to the earth. Doesn't say who they are in the book of Revelation, but the Bible says that it's given once unto a man to die, and after that the judgment. And so the probability is that it's Enoch and Elijah who come back as the witnesses, who walk the streets of Jerusalem in those days and eventually do give their life for their testimony, and then God raises them back to life again, the Bible says. But it's given once unto a man to die, and Enoch never died. He just disappeared. People looked for him and couldn't find him because God had taken him into his presence. As a reward, maybe, I don't know. But because he was so close to God, What a challenge that is. What a possibility it is. I'm not saying that any of us can walk as close to the Lord as Enoch did. There's nobody else in the scripture appears to have done so apart from Christ. And yet, the challenge is there for every one of us this morning to walk closer than where we are. You know, God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. But the onus is on us to draw near to God. And that's what people seem to have forgotten in our society today. They want God to be on their side, but they don't want to do anything about that. They don't want to move closer to God. They want God to move closer to them. Well, that's not how it works, is it? The Bible says, draw near to God. Draw nigh unto God, as it says in the old language. Draw near to God. Come closer to God. Make a physical and a mental and an emotional and a spiritual decision to come closer to God, and He will come closer to us. As we move to Him, He moves to us. Hallelujah. And so that bridge, that gulf between us, is crossed over. And this character, Enoch, he's not mentioned too much in Scripture, but what a testimony he left behind. Enoch walked with God. And it's such a challenge to each one of us this morning that the possibilities are there. Turn into the book of Malachi. That's right at the end of the Old Testament. Chapter 2. This is talking about the priesthood of Levi. We'll read from verse 7, Malachi chapter 2. It's God admonishing or telling off the priests of the day because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. They weren't in that place with God where they were supposed to be. And it's headed up there, chapter 2, an admonition for the priests. And in verse 7, God is recounting to the priests how it was, how it used to be. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned away. Or you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant of Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways and have not shown partiality in matters of law. You see the difference? In verse 7 there, in verse 6, back up to verse 6. This is how it was for Levi. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. Wow. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. How Levi had fallen away. The priesthood had fallen away from their true calling. And their true calling was to walk with God in peace and righteousness. I wonder this morning, when we look at our own lives, have we fallen somewhat from our calling, which is to walk with God in peace and righteousness and turn many from sin? Wow. We are a priesthood, the Bible says. We are the royal priesthood. We are kings and priests unto the Lord. We have replaced Levi in that sense. In our generation, we're all kings and priests, the Bible says. And so that commission of Levi sits squarely upon our shoulders this morning, to walk in peace and uprightness and to bring right instruction and for nothing false to be upon our lips. Now, praise God, we have a forgiving, merciful God who restores us, and we all need restoring, don't we? There are times when we all need to be restored. He restores my soul. Amen. And we need that. Hallelujah. And God is able to do that. But how much better for each one of us to say, well, help me, Lord, to draw closer to you today. Help me to walk under the shadow of your cross. Help me to deny myself, take up my cross today and follow you. We said a few weeks ago that that's a daily thing. To take up our cross is not something we do once and for all. Jesus said, daily take up your cross and follow me. Every day we have to make that decision. Every day is a new opportunity, praise the Lord. This is one of my favorite thoughts in God, that every day is a new opportunity. We might have failed yesterday, but today is a new day in the Lord. Hallelujah. Today is a new opportunity to walk with him, to gather ourselves up, to gird our loins, as it says in the old-fashioned way of writing. You know, in other words, to tuck your tunic in your belt and to get ready to run, to get ready to do something, to get ready for action, to get ready for walking with God. And I feel that particularly with Enoch, it wasn't so much what he did. You see, we are very much based on what we achieve by what we do. We set targets, don't we? In business, we set targets. Well, where do we want to be in 12 months? Where do we want to be in 5 years? Where do we want to be in 10 years? And we're trying to achieve goals all the time in production or things sold or things achieved, things done. And our whole society is based around hitting targets. And if we don't hit targets, we get upset. If we don't make enough money, we get upset. If we don't sell enough things, we get upset. And that's how it is in business. And unfortunately, there's an element of that crept into the church. This where you've got to set targets and goals and always got to be striving for more and for better and for this. And somewhere in the midst of all that, and of course it's good to have ambition as long as our ambition is in the Lord. It's good to have those things, but Enoch walked with God. It doesn't say that he did huge and mighty works, does it? It doesn't say that he built a boat like Noah did. It doesn't say that he visited so many countries like the Apostle Paul did. It doesn't say that he died for his faith like Peter did. It doesn't say that he walked on the water. It doesn't mention any of his works, any of the things that he did. But what it does mention is the fact that he walked closely with the Lord. And that's such a challenge, isn't it? For me personally, I look at my life and I tend to evaluate things by what I've done, what I've achieved, places I've been to, people I've spoke to. Preachers do that. You know, they evaluate their success by the number of messages they've preached and the number of people that they've preached to. Well, that's not necessarily how God sees it. God says, walk with me. Jesus said, come unto me. Always Jesus was saying, come to me, come to me. Jesus wanted fellowship above everything else. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. All you that have got too many targets and can't meet them. All you that are under pressure at work to produce more than what you're able to do. And the strange thing is, isn't it, that we find that when we meet the target, they then move the goalposts. Have you noticed that? There's never any satisfaction, is there? You know, you make your first million. What are you going to do then? Make another million. What are you going to do then? Make another million. Oh, then we'll make 10 million. And then we'll make 100 million. And what are you going to do with 100 million? I don't know. You see, those things are works-based. It's what we can strive to achieve. And we must be about the works of God. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's works. And so we need to be doing the works of God. But if we're doing the works of God but ignoring God, then we've missed it, haven't we? And Enoch wasn't translated into the presence of God because he broke bread for 5,000 people. He was translated into the presence of God because he loved God so much, God couldn't bear to be separated from him any longer. And he said, come on up. Come on higher. And so let's not think that everything we do has to be based on our works, our achievements. Because first of all, we must love the Lord our God. We said this the other week, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And if we do that, if we put all our energies into loving God, we'll find that the other things will come anyway. The other works will come anyway. And there is a great adventure in following the Lord. Enoch experienced that adventure. The Levites had experienced that and had wandered away from it. And had begun to backslide. And I don't know, there may be somebody in here today and this is a challenge to you. Come on, back. Come back to the Lord. Don't be sliding away. Don't be going further away. Be coming back. Run back to Father's house. Hallelujah. Run back to Father's presence. Run back to his love. Because walking in fellowship with God surely is the greatest thing that a man or a woman can experience on this planet of ours. What else is there? What is there above that? Knowing that we know God. There is no other thing. I mean, the scientists today are striving for knowledge of things that we could have only imagined 20, 30 years ago. Striving for knowledge about the universe and striving for knowledge about the building blocks of the universe and of life and striving for these things. And yet, above all is the knowledge of God. Above all is walking with him in fellowship every day. Is waking up in the morning knowing that we and God are going to walk through the day together. Knowing that whether it's thick or thin, whether it's rough or smooth, whether it's easy or hard, that we are going to walk with God. Whether it's through the mountains or through the valleys, we're going to walk with God that day. And that God will never leave us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. Never, ever will he leave us on our own. As the old poem says, when the going gets tough, he picks us up and he carries us. And many of you will have read that Footprints poem. And it is only a poem. It's not scriptural, but it's right, isn't it? What it says. That there are times when there is only one set of footprints, and that's because God is carrying us, hallelujah. Not because he's left us. Because we can't do it on our own, amen. And the adventure, the challenge of the adventure is to follow the Lord. And the wonderful thing about it is when we do start to follow him and we are really close with the Lord, he takes us into places and situations and we meet people and we do things that we never, ever dreamed we would have done. Never dreamed we would have done. Because God makes a way. God makes a way where man shuts doors, God opens doors. Amen. He makes a way. And we'll go to places and see things and experience things that we would never have experienced if we hadn't picked up our cross and followed him. Hallelujah. That's God. And then 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. We'll read from verse 4 because this is a marvelous little passage of scripture between verse 4 and verse 9. It's headed up in the NIV, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. But it's talking about the adventure of walking with God. See, Enoch knew nothing about Jesus. He only knew God. We have so much more at our disposal than him today. Amen? We have the scriptures. Enoch had no scriptures. We have the revelation of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit within us to bring us into all truth. We have so much more than Enoch had. So we need to be thankful. He says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the grace of God. Amen. That's enough to keep us going day by day. It's just knowing his grace, his forgiveness, his love. For in him you have been enriched. Praise the Lord. You might not feel very rich this morning. Amen. Pray for Gary and Julie today. They've just lost a lot of their earthly riches. They were burgled. And the house has been wiped clean. So pray for them. That's why they're not here this morning. We'll pray for them tonight especially. But pray for them today. That God will strengthen them and help them at this time. Amen. For we have been enriched in every way. In all your speaking and all your knowledge. Because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Praise the Lord. Is the testimony of Christ being confirmed in you? Every day? It's a challenge, isn't it? Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Amen. Oh, some of you don't look very convinced about that. I didn't say it. If I'd have said it, you could have had an argument with me and said, well, I haven't got this and I haven't got that. But I didn't say it, did I? I read it. The scriptures say that you do not lack any spiritual gift. Praise the Lord. And so all we need, we have within. The deposit of the Holy Spirit is in each of us to give us the ability, the power that we need for life and godliness, the Bible says. So it's all there. The deposit is there. You do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Hallelujah. He will keep you strong to the end. Praise the Lord. So that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Now look at this verse 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Okay, what does it say? God, so that's our Father God in heaven, the creator, the sustainer, the life giver, the eternal one, the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. So God has called us, you and I, into fellowship. That's friendship. When we talk about fellowship, when we come together for fellowship, we come together to be with one another. To love one another, to fellowship together, to bless one another, to talk together, to share with each other. Amen? Fellowship. And don't forget that this fellowship bond that we have with Christ is like the fellowship bond between a husband and a wife. Amen? Which is the strongest bond on the planet, should be, in Christ, in God. That's why marriage will never be considered, or should never be considered by the Christian church to be something to be ignored. Marriage is the plan of God. Because the Bible makes it very, very clear that Christian marriage is a picture of our relationship between Christ and the church. Amen. Such strong kinship, friendship, such a strong bond that exists. And that's what we're being called to today. He's calling us into fellowship with his Son. Praise the Lord. And of course, as we fellowship with Christ, so we fellowship with the Father, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so as we look at the Son, we see the Father. We see that in the earthly arena, don't we? We all see characteristics of our Father in the children. It happens that way. But we're not a perfect match, are we? None of us are exactly the same as our earthly fathers. But in the case of Christ Jesus, he is the image of his Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because we're one. There's no division. There's no difference. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three but one. Hallelujah. People have tried to explain that in various ways. I've never really heard of a good explanation for the Trinity. It's just something that you have to accept. as being beyond our understanding, how three can be one. In maths, three is not one, three is three. Amen. But in God, three is one. And we can only try and figure that out. You know, I've heard of it, well, it's like water, you know. Water can exist in three states, as a liquid, as a solid, ice, and as a gas, a vapor. But it's still water. Well, I think that's a poor substitute for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know. But there you go. I do remember a preacher saying that one time. Well, God is like water, solid, liquid, and gas. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's not a good way, is it, of describing the Godhead. But we've been called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And because of that, as we step into that place of fellowship, as we put on our cross, as we gird up our loins, as we begin to walk with the Lord, as we choose the narrow way over the wide road, and we make our decisions, so God is faithful. Hallelujah. And he'll never give up on us. He'll never leave us. So let's read that again, verse 9. God, who has called you can put your name in there, into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. As I said earlier, God loves to call. Many are called, few are chosen. Now that's another tickly subject. Many are called, few are chosen. What does that mean? How can you be called and yet you need to be chosen? Well, God loves to call. Jesus called every day, didn't he? Every time he went out into the marketplace or into the synagogue, I was reading this morning how he used to get up early every morning, go into the synagogue and teach the people. He was calling them. The message was coming across strong and clear, calling the people. But not everybody responded, did they? Not everybody said yes, even in Jesus' time. I read this morning about how Judas went to the priests and the temple guards and said, "How can I turn this man over to you without causing a riot?" How sad. See, not everybody was called. Jesus called 12 apostles, but only 11 were called. One was a devil, and Jesus knew it. And so the best understanding I have for the call of God is that God will call everybody and anybody. But we then are told to make our calling and our election sure. So it's up to us to respond to the call. And if we respond to the call, then we become of the chosen. Amen? Does that make sense? You see, you have to know what the Bible also says. And that little verse about making your calling and election sure puts it into perspective. As we say yes, then God says, "Okay, I'll have you." Amen. It's the volunteer line, isn't it? When the sergeant asks for volunteers for a dangerous mission, and everybody steps one step back. But some brave soul steps forward, so the sergeant says, "I'll have you." He chooses him because he's volunteered. Amen. And a volunteer is better than 10 pressed men, so they tell us. 10 people who have been forced to do something, one volunteer gets through the work of 10 people who really don't want to be doing that job. And so as we volunteer and we say yes, and we respond, "I'll walk with you, Lord. I'll be your friend. I'll put my trust in you. I'll carry my cross daily. I'll associate with your sufferings. I'll be part of your kingdom. I'll be your son." As we say yes to the Lord, God says, "Right, well, I choose you. I'll have you." And of course he would, wouldn't he? You would choose. You choose those who want you. You don't choose those who don't want you. Amen. It makes sense, doesn't it? Bible says we're adopted into his kingdom. Wonderful thing about adopted children is that they are chosen children. I know, having spent some time with adopted children, that they have this assurance in their heart that they're wanted because they were chosen. Mum and dad or mum or whoever went and said, I'll have that one. I'll have that one. You know, that's how it used to be in days of old, wasn't it? I'll take that one. Wow. And that child is chosen to become part of the family and becomes the heir of everything that that family has. In Rome, under Roman law, if the adopted child was the eldest child, he was considered as the first son. Everything was given him. In the, you know, that's the strange thing about the parable of the prodigal son. When the younger came and said, give me my share, he had no share. Not in the way that they worked in those days. Only the eldest son got it all. I think it should still be that way, personally. However, I think we should go back to scriptural principles on this matter. The only snag is, by the time my inheritance comes through, there'll be nought left. You see these, you know, people with the stickers on their cars, spending my children's inheritance. Yeah. Amen. But that's how it was. They were chosen. I'll have that one. Come into my house. Come into my family. And that's how the choosing of God works. And God chooses us, calls us, brings us into fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally this morning, 1 John chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1, because it's a good passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the word of life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now he's talking about the apostles here. Right? This is his testimony. He's talking about himself and the other apostles. That which we was from the beginning, and which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, that's Jesus. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. That's Jesus. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, because of course they spent 3.5 years with the Lord. Hallelujah. In order, so that you also may have fellowship with us. So the first call then in fellowship is to one another here in this passage of Scripture. So we can fellowship together. Our fellowship is with all brothers and sisters who are in Christ, amen, of whatever nationality, whatever language, doesn't matter. We are one, amen, one in Christ. There is no difference, no division, nothing between Jew and Greek, the Bible says. So there's certainly nothing between Greek and Turk, amen. They think there is. Oh my, how they hate each other. But for the believers, there can be no division. This is the wonderful thing about being in Christ. The kingdom of God is more important than the kingdom of men. The kingdom of God supersedes all nationality. Amen. And we have to understand that. We are not British or Nigerian or any other nationality this morning. We are children of the King. We are part of the kingdom first. And then we can wear our national badge after that. But first of all, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's good, because I found that to be so real that wherever I go, I have that as my point of contact. Doesn't matter if they speak a different language. What matters is, can I see Jesus in them, and do they see Jesus in me? Because if they do, then they're my brother and sister, hallelujah, and I am to them. And so we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We write this to make our joy complete. And John's writings there are written so that he would have the joy of knowing that you and I are in fellowship with Christ. That's why he wrote what he wrote. That's why the gospel writers wrote their gospels, O Theophilus. They wrote to people so that what they had seen and heard and handled and felt and understood, others could know the same and have that same sense of fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So what a challenge for each one of us this morning. Enoch walked with God closer than anyone else except for Christ himself. And he was not, because God took him home. Not by his works, not by his achievements, not by the number of people he witnessed to, the number of people he brought to church, the number of messages he preached. All those things are good and right, and we need to be about Father's business. But that's not what fellowship is about. Fellowship is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Do those things, and we fulfill all the law and all the prophets. All the writings of the Old Testament can be boiled down and summed up in those two statements. And as we strive to do that, as we come into that place with the Lord of fellowship daily, picking up our cross, then the adventure begins each day. Who knows what God has got in store for you today? I don't. You don't, but he does. Amen. Who knows what will happen this week? How many people you'll meet? What situations you'll find yourself in? I don't know, but God knows. For those of you who are struggling this morning, and there'll be those in here this morning who are going through hard times, difficult times, problems. It happens. It's human. It's part of life. It's things that we go through that we wish we didn't have to go through. And in some cases, we shouldn't be going through. But God says, I'm with you. I'm still fellowshipping with you. I've not left you alone. I'm going to be there right to the end, as it said. That's what we read this morning. Right to the end. I'll be with you right to the end. I'll see you through. The world doesn't have that assurance. So it still tries to make its millions. We have that assurance this morning that our fellowship is with God through his Son, Christ Jesus. So take up the adventure this week and walk with God and see what happens. See where you end up. Amen. I'm going to a primary school tomorrow. Christine and I've never been to a primary school since I left. Only in Romania. I've been to schools in Romania. I've never been to one in England. That's going to be an adventure for me. I don't mind talking to you guys. I don't know about 5 and 6 year olds. I'm not sure I'm going to go on with them. Well, that's an adventure. See, it's something I've never done before. And this is how it works, isn't it? When we walk with the Lord, we get into places, situations, involved with people that we never expected we would. Because God is above all, over all, controlling all, working everything out for our ultimate good and that ultimate place with him in the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, that your word still rings true today. And Lord, you're still calling us into fellowship with you. Help us, Father, not to ignore you. Lord, I plead guilty so often, Father. I'm so caught up in things, Lord, that I'm forgetting you. Lord, so caught up in doing your work that I'm forgetting the one who commissioned us to the work. And so help us, Lord, not to forget you. Help us to have those times of closeness and fellowship with you. Lord, just drawing from you, drawing of your strength and of your love and grace. And so help us this week to walk the walk. Lord, to live the adventure of walking with you. Bless us. Lord, wherever you lead us, Father, bless us. Let us, Lord, tread with anointed footsteps wherever we go this week. Lord, to be about your business. But Lord, being led by your Spirit. As it said of Jesus, he never did anything but what his Father told him to do. Because, Lord Jesus, you were in such close harmony with your Father. I pray, Lord, that this week we'll know something of that closeness and that harmony, that we'll like it so much we'll never want to leave that place again. And so bless us, help us, watch over us, protect us, heal us. Lord, pray for Joe this morning who's hurt his wrist. Lord, I pray that when he goes back to the hospital, there'll be no break there. Father, that thing will just be healed, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Gary and Julie and Lord Sean and Anna, who, Lord, have had such a shock, Lord, and have come back and evil people have been in their house. Lord, we pray for them, Lord, that you will comfort them and strengthen them and just work it all out. Lord, work it out for them, we pray. Lord, pray for this little baby in Alder Hey, Alfie, Lord, suffering so much. Lord, that you will undertake there and heal and give life into that situation. Father, as we continue with you today, as we meet together tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll inspire us and bless us. And so help us as we seek you together, Lord, this week, because we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.